Good afternoon, brethren. Happy Sabbath. All right. So, brethren, years ago, before I was in the church, I used to study martial arts a lot. And I studied many different styles of martial arts. And part of my training for one of the styles that I studied involved toughening my hands. And here's a process for this, and here's what I had to do. I had to go and I had to get a cardboard box. It was about this long, not like this, about this deep, and fill it with sand. And then I had to, for about 30 minutes a day, every other day, stand over that sand in that box and just punch it. Seems ridiculous, right? But I had to just punch it. I had to just do these power punches into this sand. And the idea was to develop calluses on my hands to make them harder, to make them tougher, and so that you wouldn't feel the pain. That was the first step. The second step was after about a month or maybe a month and a half, I think it was, I had to take rice, uncooked rice, not cooked rice, but uncooked rice, and pour a couple bags of rice in with the sand and mix all that in with it. And then again, 30 minutes a day, every other day, just punch it. And of course, the rice was a little bit tougher, harder than the sand itself, so it slowly began to develop calluses on my hands. The third step, this whole process took several months, the third step was to put little rocks, pebbles, and mix that in with the sand and with the rice. And then once again, for a period of time, I think it was a month and a half, maybe 2 months, stand over and just punch it, 30 minutes a day. By this time, my hands had began to develop calluses. They were getting tough, but, you know, the rocks would cut them up a little bit. But that was okay, because I was doing this training. Now, the fourth, the final stage of this, was I had to take glass bottles, smash them on the ground, had to scoop up the shards of glass, and put those in with the sand, the rice, and the rocks. Mix it up, and again, do power punches into it. And I know some of you are shaking your head like, that's crazy, right? Yeah, you're right. But what that did was, by the time I got to that point, I had developed hard calluses on my hands. And even though I was punching this glass and my hands were getting kind of cut up, and I still have some scars on my hands from that, I couldn't feel any pain because my hands had become numb to this pain. The calluses got so tough and so thick there that I just didn't feel any pain. Likewise, brethren, this world is becoming more and more calloused, more and more desensitized to sin, violence, and corruption. Things that once shocked people are now widely accepted or even celebrated. For example, back in 1964, when the Beatles first appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show with their, quote, long hair and their energetic performance, they were seen as radical, crazy people. But if you were to see them today, how they were dressed with the hair, in comparison, they seem pretty tame compared to a lot of the modern pop culture today. Also, a study by the American Academy of Pediatrics in 2023 shows that by the age of 18, the average American will have seen 16,000 murders and 200,000 acts of violence on television alone. Staggering. A Gallup poll found that 50 years ago, 70% of Americans believed premarital sex was wrong, while today, over 80% say it's acceptable. See, as sin becomes normalized, society loses its ability to recognize what is truly wrong. Now, beyond moral decay, the world is also becoming numb to human suffering. For example, the UN reports that over 735 million people globally face chronic hunger. In 2023, global conflicts led to over 238,000 deaths due to violence. And the World Health Organization estimates that 73 million abortions take place annually worldwide. These numbers are staggering, aren't they, brethren? But they show how easily the world accepts suffering and sin as just a part of life. But brethren, is this how God wants us to think? Is that how he wants us to look at this world? Well, as we prepare for the Passover, as we are examining ourselves, it's good to ask ourselves, have we become spiritually calloused? When we see these things going on in the world, does it bother us? Have we become indifferent to sin and the suffering around us? Let's turn over to Ezekiel chapter 9. Ezekiel chapter 9. Ezekiel chapter 9 takes place in a vision that the prophet Ezekiel received while in exile. And at this time, Judah was steeped in idolatry and sin. The vision reveals the certainty of Jerusalem's destruction, but it also contains a crucial lesson for us today, brethren. Now, in Ezekiel 8, just the chapter before that, God had shown Ezekiel the abominations that were taking place in the temple. Then here in Ezekiel 9, as we'll read, God commands six executioners to destroy the wicked. However, before the destruction begins, a man clothed in linen is sent to mark the foreheads of those who sigh and cry over the abominations being committed. Let's read these verses, brethren. Ezekiel 9, beginning in verse 1. Ezekiel 9, verse 1. Then he called out in my hearing with a loud voice, saying, "Let those who have charge over the city draw near, each with a deadly weapon in his hand." And suddenly six men came from the direction of the upper gate, which faces north, each with his battle axe in his hand. One man among them was clothed with linen and had a writer's inkhorn at his side. They went in and stood beside the bronze altar. Verse 3, now the glory of the God of Israel had gone up from the cherub where it had been to the threshold of the temple. And he called to the man clothed with linen who had the writer's inkhorn at his side. And the Lord said to him, "Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done within it." To the others he said in my hearing, "Go after him through the city and kill. Do not let your eye spare, nor have any pity. Utterly slay old and young men, maidens and little children and women, but do not come near anyone on whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary." So they began with the elders who were before the temple. So we see, brethren, that only those that had this mark were spared. Only those who sighed and cried over all the abominations that were being committed. And notice the judgment begins here in the temple with God's own house, reminding us that spiritual accountability starts with his people. Today, brethren, sin is rampant, and the world is continuing to head towards judgment. As we approach Passover, then, Ezekiel 9 serves as a powerful reminder to us that as we examine ourselves, we must remain sensitive to sin, just as the faithful in Ezekiel's vision were and were marked for their grief over iniquity. Paul reminds us of this vital self-examination before Passover. You know this verse, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28, that says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." If we have become spiritually numb or calloused, this then is the time to wake up and renew our sensitivity to God's standards. The Apostle Peter reinforced this when he said, "For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God." 1 Peter 4, verse 17. Passover, then, is a time to ensure that we are not growing spiritually numb, but instead we are aligning our hearts and our minds with God the Father's and Jesus Christ's. So then, brethren, how do we keep our hearts from becoming calloused as we see things going on in this world? I've got three things for you. Number one, examine ourselves daily. Examine ourselves daily. Just as we physically prepare for Passover by removing all the leaven, we must also spiritually prepare by identifying areas in our hearts and in our minds where we may have become indifferent or maybe tolerant of sin. So we examine ourselves daily. Number two, keep focused on the kingdom. It's so easy to get caught up in our daily lives, isn't it, brethren? It is, and we can do that and just forget the bigger picture. But we must remember why we are here and what our purpose is, right? We're here to prepare for the return of Jesus Christ, to prepare to be born into God's family as his children. We're growing now in God's nature, and we're going to be serving people in the kingdom. And we have to be able to have God's love and that kind of a tender heart to be able to do that properly. So we stay focused on the kingdom and our purpose in it. And then number three, stay aware of the world's conditions. Jesus did instruct us in Luke 21, verse 36, he told us to watch. So we stay informed about global events, and we empathize with those who are suffering throughout the world. We can imagine, what if it was me facing this war or famine or persecution? A heart that does remain tender towards the suffering of others is a heart that's aligned with God's through the power of God's Holy Spirit. Just as my hands became calloused through repeated impact, our hearts can become callous, brethren, if we stop grieving over sin. But God calls us to be different, doesn't he? He calls us to sigh and cry over all the abominations of this world, to stay vigilant and to prepare for Christ's return. So, brethren, as we continue to examine ourselves before Passover, let's not allow our spiritual sensitivity to become dull or to become calloused. Let's renew our commitment to God. Let's remove any spiritual calluses we may have and remain engaged in his work. Let's avoid becoming spiritually calloused by examining ourselves daily, by staying focused on the kingdom, and staying aware of the world's conditions, having a heart that sighs and cries over all the abominations that are being committed, as we all await for the establishment of the kingdom of God here on earth.